ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew chapter 21. I want to express my appreciation to the brethren here for asking me to come up and speak for you. You got quite a list of knowledgeable men on the list. Wish we lived closer and could make it more nice. It would be wonderful to hear some of these guys. I haven't heard all of them. I've heard Andy and Tom Kinzel. So a lot of the other ones would love to do that and they try to make it back Friday. Of course, I'll be hearing Andy again. So you can tell them I said that. Nevertheless, I like Andy. He's a good man. Well, appreciate you very much. And sorry I didn't get here earlier. Wanted to meet all of you, but we passed by the exit on the road and had to come back. I thought we weren't going to make it in time, which would have been bad because I passed the church building before, just this past, about a year ago. So, all right. Matthew chapter 21. The parable of the wicked vine dressers is what we're going to talk about today. It's just a wonderful parable. I've gotten into where that I like to take just a section of the scriptures and break it down, create a lesson for it, and present it. There's so many good lessons you can learn that are really kind of not necessarily obvious that I like to dig into. Of course, it will be obvious to some of you, but nevertheless. This parable of the wicked vine dresser is more like an allegory. When you look at parables and you see what the Lord has said through those parables, usually he has one thing that he's wanting to get out of it. Like the woman sweeping her house, looking for the lost coin. When she finds it, it's the greatest thing on earth. That's what the kingdom is like. Well, this one's a little bit different. It's not one lesson that you learn from it. Usually in a parable, everything doesn't have a meaning. Every person in the parable, every event in the parable, they don't have meaning. But this one is more like an allegory in its construct where that every character has some kind of a meaning. So it makes it pretty interesting. A couple of times he does that in these parables. But it contains a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of application both in the parable and in Jesus' explanation of it when he starts breaking it down for those that are listening. We need to read it first. And kind of go back and look at who he's talking to here in chapter 21. Of course, the triumphal entry is at the first part of chapter 21. Then he cleanses out the temple. And in verse 12, Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. This is about a week before his death on the cross. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he and wonderful things that he did. Children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They were indignant, and they said to him, "Do you hear what these were saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. In the morning, he was returning to the city. He became hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but leaves. He said, "Well, it may no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, I say to you, if you have faith and no doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, you will even say this to the mountain, be taken up and thrown in the sea. It will happen, and whatever you ask and pray, you will receive if you have faith." And when he entered the temple, the chief priests, this is where I wanted to get to, by the way. When he entered the temple, chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things." So the rest of the interchange. But this is who he's talking to. Chief priests are here. The Pharisees are here. They're the ones that he is talking to. They're the ones that he told this parable to. So let's read the parable and then kind of break things down. Hear another parable. This is verse 33. "There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower and leased it to tenants. And he went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same for them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to them, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. Wonderful parable. Let's break it down. Let's look at the story and look at the characters in the parable. When we look at the story, we start out with the landowner. And notice what it says about this landowner. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower. That's going to be important for us as we study on in this, and we'll bring some of that out in just a few minutes, but I want us to be introduced to the people in the parable first. Notice, however, before we go any further, the fellow's leasing out this land, and look how much effort he puts into it before he actually leases it. You don't see that every day. You just don't see that from people that are this turnkey business that he's ready to lease it out to tenants. The landowner then leased it to tenants, and we do have some younger folks in the audience. The older folks that deal with renting and leasing don't need this explained to them. So if you'll bear with me, for the younger folks and their benefit, what's the difference between leasing and renting? Well, we understand that they're very similar. Leasing is similar to renting. You may think of it as renting. You rent a house. Me and my wife rented several houses when we first got married. It's a short-term contract. It's a handshake, usually. You don't sign a lot of papers or anything like that. Maybe not sign any papers. Maybe just a verbal agreement.